Hi, everyone. We're going to have a chat between the two of us, and you guys are going to listen. Is that right?
We're
here to talk about praying for your children, but before we do that, we'll introduce ourselves.
I'm Sandy Curry.
And Sandy, how many kids have you got?
I've got three, Michelle, David and Marky, and I've got eight beautiful grandchildren.
And there they are. Awesome. I'm Karen, and I've got two girls, Tamar and Sienna. Let me start by saying we are not experts on praying for our children. We are practicing every day. Hey, that's good. We're practicing it, praying. But we know how important it is, and we just really wanted to impart that to you guys as we talk about it between the two of us. I'm still at the very beginning of my prayer life for my children. I've got two girls, 11 and 13, and I can tell you, people who've had teenage girls especially, the prayer life is about to get much more intense. My prayer journey began, like some of you, years ago when Darren and I decided that we wanted to have children. Before we had children, we started praying for our child / children. And we had quite a few sad and hard years. We tried for children for 7 years, and we lost two babies along the way. There's a lot of sadness and devastation, but there's a lot of hope and joy as well, because we now have two beautiful girls. And I remember, probably partly because of the way that that beginning all happened, praying for the baby that was inside of me and just the worry that was there from that very minute that I was aware that I was pregnant. And people much wiser than I came to me and said, "That will never leave you now. It's there forever. The child that's inside, you worry now and you will worry for the rest of your life." So thanks for that. It's very true. What about you, Sandy? When did you realise the importance of praying for your kids?
Well, I started praying for Michelle, my first baby, while I was carrying her, and I was praying simple prayer, "Please, Lord, let this baby be born well with 10 little fingers and 10 little toes." And when she was born perfect, I spent the afternoon thinking I had the most spectacular baby that had ever been born. But that night when I was alone with her for the first time, it struck me that we had to do everything in our power to lead this child to the Lord. That never left me. That was going to be my one aim, was to do everything I could to lead it to the Lord. I knew that we were going to do constructive prayer for her. I knew I was going to tell her Bible stories, and I knew she was going to come to church with us. But what I made my mission on that first night was I was going to make Jesus, who was one day I prayed be her saviour, I was going to make Jesus as real to her as what her grandparents were, what her auntie, uncle, all the people around. I was going to make Jesus so real that it would never cross her mind that he wasn't. So I started talking to Jesus in front of her all the time. I would say, "Oh, Jesus, thank you for this beautiful baby. Oh, Jesus, what a beautiful day." I just constantly talked and gave thanks to him, always. And we had two little boys after that, and I felt the same conviction that I had to do everything to lead them to the Lord. And it never, ever left me that was the most important thing I had to do. So we had this saying in our house, with Jesus looking down, "Who did this and who did that?" And as time went by, If they thought one of them was playing a joke on each other, they would say, with Jesus looking down. And it would spoil the fun, because I found they would never, ever, ever lie with Jesus looking down. And I thought, thank you, Lord, my first prayer had been answered. But we had a mechanics business next to our house, and we were so thrilled that our children had two parents, you know, and so they were never ever excluded from the garage. They could go out whenever they wanted and talk to their dad, build things in the shed. They were always part of that part of our life as well. But they would go out and say, Dad, would you fix this? And he'd say, when this man leaves. And it was usually Michelle would say, with Jesus looking down, you promise? And he'd have to say, yes, Jesus looking down, and go. But children who believe in Jesus, they are such witnesses for him, because they think the whole world believes in him.
Yeah. It's so true. Children, the faith of children is just so beautiful, and we were told
and to, true and to, real.
Yeah, and yeah. We were told in the Bible to have faith like children.
Yep.
Yeah. So praying for your children. I love that you modelled prayer. That prayer was an ongoing conversation. It didn't have to be down on your knees, close the bedroom door, hands together, eyes closed. Because that it's just part of your conversation,
right,
isn't it?
Because David says to me all the time, you never give poor Jesus a break. But, you know, Jesus is there. He's our dearest friend as well as our Lord and Saviour. Mm. We can pray to him for every move our child makes, whether they're catching a bus, whether they're going to school, whether they're doing exams, whether they're sick. You can pray to Jesus. It doesn't have to be on your knees, constructive prayer always. It can just be asking him as you go through the day.
Yeah.
And he's listening, because he's there.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I remember when my girls were tiny babies, just praying over the cot, putting my hands over the cot. Mm. You know, Jesus laid hands on people. So it's a spiritual thing to lay hands on people. But I didn't want to wake the baby, because we know how important that is. So just put my hand over the cot, pray for my babies. And it's really important that they see us praying, they see us modelling that prayer as conversation, but also as sacred times when we're down on our knees and praying for our children.
Yeah.
I've got a great story. I've been reading this book called Praying Circles Around Your Children by Mark Batterson. Mark Batterson's a fantastic author. And he talks about my grandpa Johnson had a habit of kneeling by his bed at night, taking off his hearing aid and praying for his family. He couldn't hear himself, but everyone else in the house could. Few things are more powerful than hearing someone intercede on your behalf. Now, not everyone has a prayer legacy from their parents or grandparents like I did, but you can leave a prayer legacy for future generations. I love that. So, Sandy, what should we be praying for our kids as they grow?
Well, I never stopped praying, but when they were little, I thought they had to be taught Jesus' ways while they were little. And that meant they had to be taught to be kind, considerate. They had to be taught to respect their elders, and they had to be taught to respect children. Because 3/4 of their day was going to be with children. So I used to tell them that, you know, Jesus loves you, and he never leaves you alone. He is with you when you are sad. He's just a perfect friend. So that's how I want you to be with all the children around you. And then I stress to them that if a child is mean to you, you'll never know if they've got a sadness in their life. So if a child is mean, just turn around and be extra nice to them. And, you know, very often they came home and said, do you know that person has got a sadness? But I just wanted them, how could they be like Jesus if they didn't know his character? They had to know Jesus' character. And even though they were children and they were going to fail and sometimes they were going to be mean, I kept stressing to them, truly daily, you must be kind, you have to show Jesus' love. And they were all, they all did have kind natures, not because I was stressing it, you know, but they did have kind natures. But it's so important for children not to be nasty. That child who's been tormented by your child might go home and tell their parents, and their parents might say, and they call themselves a Christian family. You know what I mean? It's so important for children.
And the opposite is true too, that they could be sharing with their parents the kindness that was given to them at
That's
school.
That's exactly, yep. So there was another thing that struck me, because the Bible was my raising children guide. My poor children got all kinds of things thrown at them because it was in the Bible. But in the Bible it says parents, or it says fathers, but I took it as parents, don't push your children to anger. And I thought, this has to be important, because children get angry when they've got to make their bed. Children get angry when they've got to go to sleep, when they've got to pick up their toys. So I thought, this has to be something important. So I milled over it with the Lord, and I felt like he was saying, we want our children to love him, so he has to know, they have to know how wonderful he is. So as parents, we have to abide by their standards. I know parents have to give love and they have to give care and they have to give discipline, but this line seemed to say that you cannot humiliate your children, you can't make them feel bad. Is that going to make them feel anger towards you, you know, under the surface? And then I thought, it's one thing to say, well, that was a pretty stupid thing you did, then you are so stupid for doing that. One statement says, that was a bit silly, but come on, let's fix it. The other one says, I am so stupid, there's no way I can fix this. And so I thought, if you want your child to grow and stay with the Lord, you have to make them grow and not want to be away from you. Because if you have made them angry and hurt, even as Christian parents, what if they grow and want to be away from you and also want to be away from their Heavenly Father? It was just a risk that we never took. We tried so hard never ever to humiliate them, because children are just the most precious gift from God, and they need to grow up knowing that they are so loved and so precious, and that's how God sees them. You know, if we love you that much, just imagine how much God loves you. So I think it's a very fine line to walk between discipline and humiliation, and it's something we tried really hard not to do.
Yeah, absolutely. If I go back to when you talk about the kids going to school, praying for your kids at school every day, not just that they'll learn, but for the relationships and for the way that they'll be modelling Jesus while they're there. Heather, Miles and I, we do prayer walks around the primary school that our kids go to, Parkville Primary, walking around the outside of the school, and we pray for the kids, we pray for the staff, we pray for everyone who comes into that space, because we want people to know Jesus, and we want our kids to stand up for Jesus, to live Jesus's love in that space. Sienna's a little evangelist. She's always talking to people. I remember in pre-primary watching her stand up and tell news about Jesus. That was really interesting. She'd give away lots of little colouring ins to people that would have a Bible verse on it or a picture of Jesus that someone had done in a colouring in book. And she's brought three kids from school to come to Sunday school here too. So, you know, our kids are amazing, and the faith that they have is awesome. So don't underestimate what they can do for Jesus. And what you were saying about character, man, praying for their character is so important, isn't it? Like I said, I'm still at the beginning of that race, but I'm thinking a lot about it. I'm trying to be intentional about growing my girls. But what helps us to grow the most is hardship and suffering, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That's not what we like to pray. We don't want to pray for our kids to suffer. We want to pray for our kids to thrive. Lord, please don't let them suffer. That's what we tend to be praying. Well, I'm assuming you're like me anyway, more often than not. But, you know, if I shelter my children, if I go to the teacher and say, hey, you know, my kid's being bullied and it's this child and I want you to do something about it, if I make life easy for them, if I give them everything that they want instead of getting them to earn it or to learn to go without that thing, if I only associate with followers of Jesus and don't invite my non-church friends into our home space and model loving as Jesus loved, that extravagant love to those people, if I don't show them all of these things, if I shield them from the real world, which I've heard it called snowplow parenting, clear everything out of the way, if I do all of that and I... then that hinders them.
Mm.
It can stop them from growing.
Absolutely.
If I don't do this stuff, my children don't grow in their perseverance. They don't grow in their character. They don't learn that Jesus walks with them through everything that they go through, that he walks with them through the valley of the shadow of death. And I don't do my role as a parent properly. And I rob them of that opportunity to grow, and I can even do harm. So I need to pray that when those hard times come, that God will bless them with growth and character and safety, and I know that he's with them. I listen to heaps of podcasts, and one of the ones that I've recently discovered is called Grace-Based Families. And they said this the other day, so this is not my words. I want my child to walk through the tough parts of their journey, the scary and the treacherous parts, while they're still living under my roof, while I can still be a guide to them and I can love them and I can forgive them. I don't want to walk it for them. I want to follow and be there for them. And it's so true. They need to figure out their own faith. They need to work out our own faith. As Paul said, we need to wrestle and work at it with fear and trembling, because knowledge and faith that's discovered by the learner is what sticks. When you read something that touches your heart in the Bible, or you hear of something, or God's speaking to you, you've discovered something, that's what sticks in your memory and makes it stay there for a long, long time. So I want my kids to discover Jesus and to work at their own faith and own their own faith, because then it's theirs and not my faith. What about the future, Sandy? I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I don't have that legacy of prayer behind me. So what should we be praying for?
Well, I know this sounds a long way off for a lot of young parents, but while my children were growing, I was praying for a little boy and two little girls that were out there somewhere that might one day be going to marry my children.
Mm.
And I asked the Lord only two things. I wanted them to love him and to have kind hearts. And God sent us Joe and Christy and Asher, and another one of my prayers had been answered.
Wow.
But I prayed all of their childhood for those three lovely people to come into our family, and I finally had my six children I'd always wanted.
Oh, wow. So we start really young?
You start really
start
young.
When they're
don't
really
leave
young.
Anything to chance with your children. Pray everything, every inch of the way.
Yeah.
Pray.
Yep.
And the future, we just wanted our children to grow up and have the Lord as their saviour.
Mm. Mm.
And then came grandchildren.
Ah.
That was in the future. Now, Proverbs 17:6 says, grandchildren are the crown of the elderly. God never said they were a feather in our cap.
Mm-hmm.
He said they are a crown. And a crown is precious and beautiful, and anyone who wears a crown is in an honoured position. When we got our first grandson, Caleb, we were so overwhelmed with love. Poor Michelle. We just thought we were the richest people on earth.
Yeah.
We just loved him with all our heart. Now, you can't be in the houses of your grandchildren, though we tried pretty hard with Caleb. You can't be there leading them every day sort of closer to the Lord, but you have to start again praying. You have to pray for their salvation. You have to pray for their parents who are raising them, and you have to love them with all your heart. And that's pretty easy, you'll find. I used to take my grandchildren to the park. And one day when I was sitting with one of them, there was millions upon millions of little tiny white daisies with yellow centres. And I picked one up absentmindedly. And when I turned it over, the back of each little teeny weeny petal was purple with a fine little line around it. And I was just amazed. So I called the one who was with me over, look what God did. He's painted the back of this daisy purple. Look at that. And every child I took to the park, I'd say, look at these daisies, look what God did. I was so fascinated, and I wanted them to see God's creation, but eventually they'd say, yeah, Nan, you showed us that last time. But, you know, I had the same conviction that, please, God, I just want my grandchildren to grow up and love you.
Mm.
It seemed to be the only important thing. As my time as a parent and my time as a grandparent, the most important thing was always and ever that they love the Lord.
Mm, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I firmly believe that our most important ministry is our family first.
Mm.
So if that's the most important ministry, then I'm going to spend a lot of my time on my knees praying for my family.
Mm.
Pray without ceasing. My most fervent prayers is that they will love and follow Jesus just like you.
Yep.
Then I'll be doing everything that I can to make sure that that happens. I'm a self-helper. I grab all the books and the resources and the websites and the people, most of all people, that I can to help me to grow and to increase in my knowledge. So then I'm doing my very best for my kids. One of the ways that we can pray, and good friend of mine, Catherine, gave me this idea, is pray scripture for your kids. So, for example, we've got Joshua 22, verse 5. So I'll put in my kids' names. Lord, I pray that Tamar would love the Lord her God. I pray that she would cling to him. And I pray that Tamar would serve him with all her heart and with all her soul. Or Sienna, for God so loved Sienna that he gave his only son for her, that if she believes in him, she will not perish but have eternal life. Or Psalm 25:4, Lord, make known to Sienna your ways, O Lord. Psalm 23, you all know that one pretty well. The Lord is Tamar's shepherd. She doesn't want for anything. He makes Tamar lie down in green pastures. Put your kids' names in there. Put your partner's name. Put your grandkids' names and your grandparents if you've still want to, that's okay. Or other parents' kids as well.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. Did you want to talk about that?
Because you only had such a short time
yeah.
to lead children to the Lord.
Yeah.
And I find my heart goes out and my prayers go out to children who don't have Christian parents, don't go to church. Mm. And I find I have to connect with so many of them. I just call them my little friend. I've missed you. You look pretty today. Anything. You've grown since I saw you last. Anything to make a connection, mm. to make them feel special, mm. because you're never, ever going to know when those tiny connections are going to bear fruit.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. I love that Sandy's one of our creche workers. Sandy's been doing it for such a long time. Sorry. But both of my kids went in as babies. She just loves, she's like this with everybody's kid. Isn't that beautiful? Thank you, Sandy, for all that you've done for the kids. So if I'm a self-helper, then I like to get lots of resources around me. So I've actually put some things up on the screen that you can use if you're like me. So if you want to get some information, come and see me after, I can give it to you. 31 days of prayer for your children. Each day it gives you a different topic, a different Bible reading. Love it if you're stuck for things to pray for. Your Bible app on your phone or your iPad has got so many devotionals about praying for your kids, praying for your grandkids. They might be 5 days, it might be 7 days, it might be longer. They're a great way to start. Podcasts. Like I said, I listen to podcasts. The 1 minute mum moment is fantastic. Grace-based families. You probably know heaps and heaps of podcasts. Share the collective wisdom because we all need that. And books. Books are great. I'm not so good at reading, but that's okay. So let me say True Girl, which used to be called Secret Keeper Girl. Some of you in the church have heard of that before. Awesome. Fantastic for your girls. And they've got some stuff for boys called Brave Boys as well. Praying circles around your children. I love Only One Life. That's fantastic, how an ordinary mum can affect the future through praying for her children. And, of course, all of your The Power of Praying books. Before we finish up, I just wanted to share a couple of things. I'm assuming that we've all heard of Susanna Wesley, and you probably know the story, but indulge me for a minute while I tell you again. In the mid-1700s, she was living. She had 19 kids. 10 of those survived infancy. And she prioritised praying for 2 hours a day. And she prayed for all of her children, of course. And she prayed for lots of other things. And the way that she did that in the chaos, as you may have heard, she popped her apron over her head. And the kids knew, when mum's doing that, she's praying. You don't need to talk to her or interrupt her. So they left her alone. Her husband was a minister who was away preaching quite a lot. And when they had other visiting ministers come, Susanna Wesley didn't really think that they were meaty enough. So she just thought to herself, you know what, I've got a little congregation of my own, my 10 kids. So she sat them down in the kitchen of her home and she began to teach them in the kitchen of her home. And soon enough, her neighbours came knocking and said, hey, we'd like to sit down and listen to this as well. And it grew and grew until they became an open-air message where she had up to 200 people sitting and listening. So it started from praying for her kids under her apron and then had that ministry. However, it didn't stop there. Charles Wesley was her son. He went on, an extremely influential man, he went on to write over 6,600 hymns. It's a lot of hymns. And John Wesley, he ran open-air church services that had tens of thousands of people. These guys were world-renowned leaders of Christianity that have affected the future from this one lady with her head under the apron praying for her kids. So mums, stick in there, hang in there. It's hard sometimes, but what you're praying affects the future. It really does. Let me just read to you one last thing and then we'll finish up. Again, Mark Batterson. You don't have to do everything right as a parent. Phew. But there is one thing you can't afford to get wrong, and that thing is prayer. You'll never be a perfect parent, but you can be a praying parent. Prayer is your highest privilege as a parent. There is nothing you can do that will have a higher return on an investment. the dividends are eternal. Prayer turns ordinary parents into prophets who shape the destinies of their children, grandchildren, and every generation that follows. So you guys are people of power. Maybe your kids have grown up. You still have kids, and you can still pray for them. Maybe you don't have children of your own, but you know someone who does. Mm. Sandy was saying today, adopt a child. Choose someone from out the back that's doing Sunday school and pray for them. Well, choose several of them. That'd be even better. Mm. Pray for our Sunday school teachers, because they're shaping these little minds. We don't say, okay, go in there for your spiritual teaching and then come back home and we'll just go on with that. No way. They are supporting us in what we're teaching at home. So pray for the Sunday school teachers. Pray for the creche people. Oh, our little beautiful babes who are so perfect. And these ladies are praying over these beautiful kids. Pray for our youth group leaders, Caleb and the others. Thank you so much, because those years are so formative. Our teenage years, where they're reaching out and asking more questions. Youth group is an awesome arena in which to impart the love of Jesus and the perseverance that we need as we grow older. So as the band worship people come up, then we'll pray. Why don't we all stand, and we're going to pray for our kids, we're going to pray for our grandkids, we're going to pray for other people's kids, kids that are out the back, kids that are not here but somewhere else. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, children are a gift from you. We know this to be true. And man, they test our patience sometimes, but you give us the strength to carry on, Lord. We want to be like Susanna Wesley, Lord. We want to be people of power, people of influence over these children's lives. Our greatest desire is that they know and love you. And I know that is true of everybody that's in here today. Father, our children's names are on our lips. They're written on our hearts, and we give them up to you now, Lord. Would you grow them? Would you stretch them? Would you challenge them? Would you help them as they struggle and strive and wrestle with making sense of their own faith and making it their own, Lord? Would you grow them to be people of power who are praying into the lives of their own children and their friends' children? Father, we pray for all of our leaders who have anything to do with children in this church. Oh, I dare say it, the most important ministry of this church, because they're the future. We pray for our leaders, Lord, that you would empower them to love our children, to speak the knowledge and the love of Jesus into them. Would you work through the children that are in this church and the friends that they have made at school and the acquaintances that they get to know as they have gone play dates and the parents that they witness in front of as well, Lord, just through their love of Jesus. Such beautiful, powerful faith. Thank you so much for the simplicity of faith of a child. Lord, we're not worthy to be their parents sometimes, but we do it in your strength. We do it making lots of mistakes, but we do it with you, and we want our kids to see, Lord, that we make mistakes, but we hang on to you, we cling to you, Jesus. We hold on to you, Lord, and we just give you our children. We raise them up to you right now, Lord. Take them, make them your children, Lord. And what a privilege and honour it is to be their parents, their grandparents, their aunties, uncles, their friends. Thank you, Lord. We ask these things in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.